Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. I mean, not really. Not in, like, my real life.
No, that's what I call you.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where you got the name from. One day you were like, I've got a funny little idea about where my name, my name for the internet. I've been saying that to you for years.
With me as always.
Hey, Mr. Sunday Movies, I'd yell from a moving car. It was me all along.
I didn't know that.
It was.
With me as always, my co-host, Nick Mason. Hey, real name everywhere.
Real name everywhere. Hey, I know we normally do letters in our famous segment, Letters, later on in the episode, but... I thought this is my favorite piece of correspondence from the week, so I thought I'd mention it up top. I texted it to you earlier in the week.
You did?
You're going to enjoy this one. So basically, James, you know how we love to have fun? We love to have fun on this podcast.
Yeah, sure.
We love to have fun, all right?
I guess.
Do we or not?
We do.
Great. Okay, we do. So anyway, from time to time, we will pretend, we'll make a little joke that we're being paid off by Marvel Studios.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the only obvious reason why we would give Marvel movies positive reviews and
Correct.
DC movies maybe less than positive reviews.
Sure.
Right. Well, this week we got a tweet. I won't say the name, but it says, at Mr. Sunday Movies at Wikipedia Brown. That's us on Twitter.
Yep.
The problem is now you're both taking money from Marvel. That means you can't remain impartial. Now our listeners, they get it. We're making a little joke. We get it. But I see this tweet and I'm like, oh, maybe it's like a young fella.
Right,
they don't get that the old folks, us, we can make a little joke from time to time.
Sure.
It can be a bit silly. So I click through and I'm like, oh, maybe I should be like, oh, no, we're just kidding about that. So I click through and they've got 200 tweets.
Yep.
And they all, except for that one, they all have the next tweet says, it's at somebody. It says, JW, just wondering.
Yeah.
If you could shrink your worst enemy to just a few inches in height and you could do anything to them, what would you do? And the next tweet, it says, it's to at somebody, and it says, JW, just wondering, if you could shrink your worst enemy to just a few inches in height and you could do anything to them, what would you do? And the next tweet is to at somebody, and it says, JW, just wondering, if you could... Anyway, there's 200 of those.
Just the same.
Well, there's some slight variations, because some people are like, what? and they're like, I was just wondering. But anyway, two things. Thank you for tweeting at us. Three things. Thank you for tweeting at us. Right. Two, it feels good that we were the people to finally break the streak.
Sure.
And get
But
them
also,
out.
Why not ask us?
Exactly. We'd have great opinions on what we'd do with our shrinky enemies.
And make Shrenemies.
Shrenemies, exactly. We'd make them live in a little dollhouse, probably.
Oh, that's... I don't know what that is. I don't know what to make of that.
I know, right? Bless.
There's good a lot them. Of subtext.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, what else is going on?
Well, Mason, speaking of something...
Great.
We did a sub
podcast. Yes.
We got four coming out every Thursday. The last one was last Thursday. It's called
We've got
Caravan
four
of
coming
Garbage.
Out every Thursday. If we only produce one each Thursday, let us complain to us.
Please do.
Nah, I just want to work.
It's called Caravan of Garbage. Yeah, we're doing four this series. We might do another series. We might not. It just depends on how it goes. And basically we look at something from the past and like discuss it. Like it might be something weird or bad, sometimes even good. There's a bit of good stuff in there as
well. Yeah, unfortunately there's been some good stuff because it's kind of a tight schedule.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, this was going to be bad. And then I'll would watch it or read it and be like, oh, that's actually kind of good. Thank you to everybody. You know what? I was going to say thank you to Loot Crate, but thank you to everybody who subscribes to Loot Crate on our ticket, because that way Loot Crate have been nice enough to be like, oh, a lot of people who listen to the show have been subscribing, so we'll...
They just backed the whole
we'll
thing.
We'll sponsor these episodes.
So yeah, that was great. And so it's extra money for everybody, specifically us.
Yeah, right.
Which is what I'm about. So there's an audio version, which is extended, and there's animated versions as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The animated versions are going to come out, or they're animated or with, depending if we talk about a movie or whatever, or a comic. The first one's out Sunday, so it's out right now, mm-hmm. but they should be every Thursday.
And they're on your YouTube channel, yes. Mr. Sunday Movies.
So they're available two places, different versions, Mason. Pick your poison. Whichever one you want. And they're shaping up really well, I feel, Mason.
Mm, same.
Let's do the show, though.
Let's
what are
do
we
the
doing?
Show.
Where are we? I mean, we're
ready. We're recording, right? Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Because I've said some gold. I said a thing about a thing somebody sent to us.
This isn't really comic book news, but 50 Shades of Darker, the darkest one.
Oh, yes.
The sequel trailer to the first one.
50 dank memes. 50 Shades Danker.
It's the biggest trailer debut of all time.
Huh.
So the last one was Force Awakens with 112 million in 24 hours. This did 114.
Well.
Did you watch it?
No.
Really? I watched it.
Is it the same? It's the same two actors who don't really
like each other or the project.
Or have any chemistry at all. Yeah. It's those two, right?
Okay. That's right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Did you see the first one?
No.
Yeah. No. I saw 50 Shades of Black with one of the Wayans brothers.
How'd that go?
I get why it's popular, but also people who like this seem to hate the movie. So there's also that aspect of it. Do you think it's kind of like, well, this is a bit risque. I'm gonna watch this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think that's what it comes down to?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Force Awakens or the next Star Wars can get that back?
Should be a bit more risque.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I get you. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. So yeah, that's not super interesting, but no, I thought it was interesting enough to bring it up at least.
Lift your game, Star Wars. Lift your game, the most popular film franchise of all time.
Well, that's actually Marvel now.
Oh.
Marvel overtook Star Wars in terms
of
money making.
All right.
Paul Walker's character might be returning to Fast and Furious.
Hmm.
One of his brothers, Caleb, said he spoke to Vin Diesel about getting their blessing to bring the character back. And Universal wants to make sure it's respectful to Paul and his image and his family and let his fans know that like he's still out there. I mean, he's dead, obviously.
He's not still out there, certainly. Yeah.
But what do you think about that? I mean, obviously, if the family gives it the go-ahead, that's an entirely different thing. But this whole idea of bringing back actors from the dead has been something that's been happening for a while. Even Bruce Lee's last movie is just like a weird cobble together.
That's true, I guess, yeah.
Extra
B-roll and off-cuts.
Yeah.
There's so many scenes in his last movie where he's just at craft services making a cup of coffee. And then the bad guy's like, get you, Bruce. And then there's just dramatic music and he turns around with his styrofoam cup and it's like... Yeah, what? What's up? No, I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess there's precedent, but I mean, that's what... The issue is not that can they do it. It's will that steal focus from the actual movie? Like, if he's in a main character role...
Sure.
If it's more one of... You know, because they did it in the last one. If it's one of his brothers and they've sort of CGI'd his face on the top, every scene in that that he's in, I'm going to be like...
Well, that's what I was in the last one. Yeah.
Which is this? What's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
It's unpleasant.
Yeah.
And I'll be thinking about all the other actors having to act against a guy who isn't
Paul Walker,
but they have to pretend he's Paul Walker. Ugh,
sure.
I don't know.
Like maybe like as a cameo, I guess.
Yeah.
But like as a full on character, first of all, that's very expensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
the Fast and Furious movies are not known for spending money.
That's true.
They're certainly not going to drive a car out of a window in the tallest building in Dubai and then crash it through another window.
But
just a gold car, whatever it was.
But even from like a moral standpoint, how do you feel about that? Even if the family gives a go ahead, do you think it's a good direction to go in for the future? Does it set a good precedent?
No, I feel it's no worse than anything else because there's been a lot of ads and things where they've just, the estate of a certain actor is just saying,
yeah, Bruce Lee ate a Mars bar. Remember that ad?
Oh, that's right. Bruce Lee again.
It's all Bruce Lee, isn't it?
I mean, but that was cheating because they asked Brandon Lee about that.
Oh God.
They Weekend at Bernie's'd him. Sure, no problem. problem.
But I don't know. It doesn't sit well with me entirely. I think it's, and again, if the family are okay with it, yeah. Who am I to say no? Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But like down the line, where does it stop?
No, but I think this is good in the sense that it's going to set that legal precedent.
Okay,
they're not going to go like there will be some firm sort of contractual things.
Yeah.
So they, you know, because otherwise there might be, you know, movies in the future where people are like, oh, that actor didn't want to continue in this role, so we'll just CGI. Like we snuck in a line in the contract where we can just use his likeness forever in this role.
Right, right.
And then just get another actor and CGI his face on. Like at least with this, they can be like, you know, they set the precedent and be like, okay, well, in order to use this person's likeness, you need the agreement of his estate. You need to do this and this and this. That's fine. I'm okay with it.
But you can also have dick family members.
That's also true.
As we all know, I'm sure. Everyone's got that one guy.
Yeah.
I got that one guy.
Well, maybe you'll have to put in your will, like, these people are allowed to sign off my likeness. Dad.
Yeah.
Mom.
Not Uncle Alan.
Yeah. I will eat no Mars bars. I will only eat Snickers bars.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's going to be...
I haven't had a Mars bar in ages.
Yeah, I had a Mars bar ice cream the other day. My friend Lima bought some round. It was actually pretty good.
I had a fried Mars bar.
That'd kill me.
No, they're so good.
I really reckon
that. They're so good.
That would stop my heart. I think because...
But what a way to go. That's how Paul Walker went out. It's not how he actually died. It was the fried... It was the fried Mars bar that he was eating in the Lamborghini.
Gotcha.
Put him over the edge. I apologize if the family of Paul Walker are listening to this.
They're definitely not.
Yeah.
So Rogue One has had extensive reshoots. We've known about that. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that ethically?
I'm okay with it.
Okay, good. Me too. The music man, the man who's doing the music...
yes,
Alexandra Desplat. That's probably not how you say it. It's probably Desplo or something like that.
No, it's Splatto.
Splatto. He did like the Deathly Hallows. He's out now as the composer, and Michael Giacchino or Giancano. I don't know how you say that one either.
Huh?
Depends on where you're from, Mason.
Weird name out, weird name in. Here we go.
Is taking over, and he's done like some Pixar stuff, some Marvel stuff. And apparently it's to do because of the extensive reshoots, and then obviously people get booked for another job and so on and so forth. So that's how that goes.
Do you ever think that maybe they're just like they've just got an archive of old stuff, and they're just like, yeah, have this.
This will move.
That famously, there's an electronic artist called Aphex Twin,
right?
And one time he's a famously loose unit, and he. One time he was asked, I think it was to do a remix of like a Lemonhead song or something like that.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yeah, those
the
guys,
one,
right.
The one song I know from the
right,
Lemonheads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they're like, can you, and they paid him a lot of money for it. And then he just completely forgot about it. And then like months later, like a courier arrived at his house and like, okay, time to collect that Lemonheads remix. And he's like, and he just grabbed like a random CD off his shelf of just like something he'd been messing with. And he's like, that's it. And then they were like, great, brilliant. And that's out there now.
They went like, that doesn't sound like the song.
No, because he's known for like...
Because he's eccentric, so he can get away with that.
He can get away with it. He just exploded the whole track and then brought it together in a genius way.
Right, right.
So what I'm saying is...
Just do that.
Just get some John Williams B-sides. It's fine. Nobody will notice. Nobody will notice or care. It'll be great.
Did you see the video this week? It was on the music of Marvel and how it has no impact.
A lot of people sent me the link, and I didn't watch it, but I agree.
You should, yeah, totally. You should definitely check it out. And
like, how does the Avengers theme go?
No, I don't know.
Like, if somebody would to play it to me,
yeah, you'd know.
I'd recognize it, but I couldn't sing it off the top of my head.
The songs I recognize are like Iron Maiden's. I'm not Iron Man. Black Sabbath's Iron Man.
Iron Man, right.
You know
yeah,
I mean?
Exactly.
That's the stuff that I recognize. Like the pop songs. Well, that's not a pop song.
Spirit
in the Sky, exactly. The Guardians soundtrack. But like we don't really talk about soundtracks.
No.
It's not because we're not really musically inclined.
We got bloody tin ears.
Yeah, yeah. So absolutely. Like there's no like soaring like Jurassic Park score or a Star Wars.
Superman
or
thing.
The John Williams ones.
Yeah.
There's not a John Williams one. Yeah.
Just get some John Williams B-sides, Marvel. It's fine. Just show up at his flat early in the morning one day and be like, that's us. We're from Star Wars, not Marvel. And they could, it's fine.
Whatever.
Just give us the tr- and he'd be like, all right, here's some stuff.
This'll do.
Mm.
I found it really interesting, though, because it talks about the way that they compose music nowadays is directors will often edit a movie to a temporary score.
Okay.
Which might be some kind of generic kind of music.
It's the Beverly Hills Cop theme.
Sure.
It's Axel F. Yeah. to everything.
That'd be amazing.
Yep.
Or it'll be like another film score, which you obviously can't use. Yeah. And so then when it comes to the composer making theirs, the creatives behind the film just go, I just do a variation on this.
Right.
So it ends up just being like a generic kind of nothing.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that makes it more difficult. Like it doesn't, because then you have to kind of do it exactly to what the, because oftentimes you'd have to edit to the music.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's the other way around.
And also, yeah, and also in a lot of cases, and I think sort of back in the day as well, it was just they put in the score.
Yeah.
And it was in the background while the action was happening. And now it is a lot more precise. Mm. Like the beats are happening as the beats in the movie are happening.
Right, kind of thing.
So it's a real marvel of filmmaking.
Yes.
There we go.
Is that it?
Yeah, it's a real marvel of filmmaking. Speaking of, what's the Superman theme now?
I like this the Hans Zimmer one. I think it's
which
good.
Which is?
I can't do it because it's more the kind of...
Yeah, it's great,
go.
Right?
It's good. Mm. I'm not going to do it, but it's good. It's not as bombastic as the John Williams one, but I think it's great. I think it's really good. There's actually a good mashup of those two, of the original one and the new one.
I think the click track, like the basic track under all movies, should be the Crazy Frog theme. And basically what happens is if you don't do a good enough score, they just leave the Crazy Frog theme in and then you're credited for it forever.
Do you remember? Because
the
Crazy Frog wasn't always the Crazy Frog. It was just like a sound bite that people would send around and be like, try not to laugh or whatever.
Yeah,
And then somebody grabbed that and sampled it.
Yeah.
I wonder if the guy who made that got any money for
right?
it.
Who knows?
Yeah, probably not.
It was the Wild West back in the day.
It certainly was.
Yeah.
In the mid to late 90s.
Yeah.
So apparently for the Avengers Infinity Wars, they're considering adding Netflix characters. Just considering.
Yeah, nice.
But is that a good idea? How do you drop like Daredevil in space and then put him back in Hell's Kitchen?
Oh, no, I think maybe what you'd have to do is you would have to... You'd have to have a space-based team and an Earth-based team.
Right, right.
Because if the Avengers leave...
Yeah.
Like, maybe the Avengers leave and then Thanos sends some ground troops to New York
City. Some Chitauri.
Yeah, exactly. Great. More of them. And some Ultron robots. Just bring them all back. Yeah. Or like, or something. Or, you know,
like a B-grade kind of Marvel Thanos underling,
like maybe he sends down a lieutenant and they mind control a whole bunch of, you know,
or they just beat him up.
Thugs. Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't you like to see like the Defenders beat up like a Thanos style character?
Yeah,
that'd be great.
But I think that and I think you know it. And it could be a case of like, you know, the Avengers finally defeat Thanos, or do they? Who knows where this universe is going to go? They're going to beat Thanos. But then they come down, they're like, oh, no, we're going to save Earth. And the Defender's like, yeah, we got it. It's fine. Don't even worry about it. Thanks for leaving Earth, you jerks. Yeah, I think that would work. I think.
But also, it's an Avengers movie. It's a Marvel movie. It's not a Netflix movie.
Right.
So it couldn't be a massive part of them, you know what I mean? It'd have to be a very minor.
Yeah, I think maybe just some very brief cutaways back, like, we're like, I hope Earth is okay, and then they cut back and it's just Jessica Jones just thumping 100 people in a row. You know what I mean? Just something.
That'd be pretty great. I would like to see them in sub capacity, but I can see how that would be that's a tough kind of balancing act.
I hope things are all right on Earth. Iron Fist! He has to say it every time.
He does. Margot Robbie, it's been confirmed, will be producing and starring in a Harley Quinn movie. What do you feel about that, Mason?
Sure.
Yep.
I mean, she was probably the best part of the last one. I mean, the Batman scenes.
Yeah, Batman scenes. I thought she was a really good representation of the character, but I didn't think it always worked on in live action. It didn't always directly translate. That being said, I thought she did really well. Yeah, I'll see this.
And this is going to be, we talked about this earlier, this is going to be Harley Quinn and more female superheroes from the DC universe.
Correct.
Batgirl.
Nighthawk.
Hawk girl. There we go. You nailed one. By randomly putting together syllables, you came up with a correct one. Yes.
Huntress. Yeah, that's right. That's what I meant to say. And they mentioned Poison Ivy. I didn't say that, but maybe. Yeah.
Throw her in. Why not? Where's the harm?
What?
Zatanna.
So does it sound like it's going to be like an anti-heroes movie again?
I hope not.
Yeah. I want to see Mad Love.
Yeah, okay, sure.
That'd be great. Mm. And you could, because Jared Leto's apparently not in Justice League because he's gone back to...
He's gone rogue.
Live in a cave or whatever he said he was going to do because it wasn't that well received. But yeah, sure. I know. I think I think if you're going to do a story, because I thought that was actually the best. You're right. That was the best part. Some of the best part of Suicide Squad was the Harley Quinn Joker stuff.
Yeah, the origin backstory. Scenes. There's there was a whole really movie enjoyed. In there.
Yeah.
That they maybe should have kept as a whole movie as opposed to. There was either too much backstory or too little backstory there.
Mm. They didn't nail it, is what you're saying.
Mm.
They didn't find that sweet middle ground.
Correct.
Speaking of sweet middle ground, Mason.
Oh, yes.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes.
First of all, Brian Cranston apparently turned down that role, or he was in talks, and he was like, I don't want to be in like 7 movies.
Right, uh-huh.
Yeah, so he... Yeah. I mean, who knows if he would have got it, but...
he's got Malcolm in the Middle money.
Exactly.
He can do whatever
he
wants.
He can do literally whatever.
Yeah.
But they released that Commissioner Gordon image. Did you see it just today?
No.
It's on a Sunday, Mason. That's what time or day it is here at the moment.
No, I should look down.
It's him in a hat. It's fine. It's because it's Batman
Day. I'll just imagine that. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's it's just... He looks like Commissioner Gordon.
Okay, great.
It's Batman Day today. You know that,
don't
you?
It is. That's right.
And they also released the image of the new tactical Batman suit.
Yes, they did.
Which is... pretty good from the neck down. That's how I say it. What do you think?
Yep. Should have been more logo prominent. These suits, I feel, should be a little bit more logo prominent.
You're right. That's very true. Yeah.
But it is very Night Owl. It's very Watchman.
It's the ears and the goggles.
Yeah,
yeah.
What's he done with the ears? Why has he trimmed the ears down?
I don't
know. Is it because he fears villains will grab him by the ears and flip him about?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. That's the detriment of long ears.
Sure. Scott Snyder's doing a run of Batman at the moment. Is a version of All-Star Batman? I think that's what it's called. I can't remember. But anyway, there's a bit where a giant villain grabs him and he pulls out the ears and their knives and he like stabs the dude like in the arm. It's pretty great. The ears do. He's able to fire them in some versions as well. Shoot them off.
Sometimes they have antennae in them.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
Sometimes they contain his real ears.
Just stuffed, wedged right
up. Yeah,
because there.
In some versions, Thomas Wayne was a terrible doctor and delivered Bruce, but stretched his ears out real bad. Real unpleasant for him. That's why he's in the darkness. He spends his life in
right.
the darkness.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he combs his hair over his ears.
That's right.
But as somebody pointed out to me on Twitter, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who, they said, isn't all of Batman's suits tactical suits?
Yeah, but some are more tactical.
Yeah, but how is this more tactical than this regular suit? What does it do?
Exactly, because we discussed this earlier in the week. In the last one, he was shot in the head repeatedly and he was fine.
You can't get more tactical than
that. You can't get any more tactical than being invulnerable to a bullet in the head. So you're right, exactly. I guess it provides eye protection if somebody's going to shoot him in the eye.
Right, yeah. I don't like those
because
goggles.
I saw that still and I thought, well, there was the goggles and the sparks and I'm like, maybe he's forging something, but he's not.
Sure.
Is that
okay. I don't know.
Okay, right.
That's the thing. It's not in motion. We don't know what he's going to be doing with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably fine.
Yeah. And if they're retractable goggles, that's fine.
Mate, do you reckon they'll light up white?
Nah, because we saw that last time.
We did too.
Yeah.
We did too, Mason. Mm. It was more of a blue-white though, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, all right. Think about it. You got me on a technicality. Yes, fine. God. We have fun here, don't we?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Well, Mason, seeing as it's Batman Day, apparently, which is apparently a thing.
And it's Tactical Batsuit Day as well. Because sometimes he wears a silken, he wears a silken costume.
Yeah.
It's not bulletproof, but why would you, though?
To get around quicker. Just to show off his abs.
Show off your abs, that's true.
And that sweet V that he's got, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. We thought we'd talk, like, the best and the worst and the weirdest versions of Batman and, like, bat suits and just a whole lot of variations.
It's a Batman grab bag.
It's sure.
Batman grab bag.
Batman grab bag. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've got some tweets that we're going to read out towards the end of some of the listeners' favorites.
Okay, here's one that I thought was terrible. Like, I think it's terrible now.
I thought I was going to start, but
okay, we have fun, don't we? No, because I was just thinking about this one the other day. It's not good.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I have the prestige format softcover version at home.
Right.
At my parents' house in a box somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's did you ever read Superman Speeding Bullets?
Is that the one where Batman is Superman?
Superman is Batman, sorry. How dare you?
Sorry.
You're an idiot. As if Batman would be Superman. No, in this one, Superman's Batman. But this is the version where Kal-El lands not in Kansas but in Gotham City.
Yeah.
And he's adopted by the Waynes.
Because Bruce is dead?
That's a good question. I think they just didn't have a Bruce.
Oh, I thought he was killed. Anyway, maybe I'm
but
wrong.
Why would they name the kid Bruce again?
Oh, they named him Bruce again. Yeah.
Bruce again, yeah. Well, we tried, but...
Hashtag Batman grab bag.
We missed him. But so here's Bruce again. But anyway, so they raise him, and then the exact scenario plays out again where they're leaving the Zorro film and there's a mugger and Thomas and Martha Wayne are killed, and then Batman incinerates him with heat, Bruce incinerates him with heat vision,
right?
And then he becomes sort of a more masked Batman, like he's got the full face covering.
Okay.
And he's, but the problem is, anytime you give Batman too much power, it's no longer fun.
Yeah, you're right.
He's got, I mean, sure, he can fly like a bat can fly, but he can also shoot heat vision like a bat can shoot heat vision.
Like a bat can fly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? And it's anytime it's...
You've got to be careful how you level him up.
And it's okay in terms of, like, because this is an Elseworlds and this isn't... It's out of continuity and it's fine for 5 minutes, but then if you were to take that into the real world, the real world, if you take that in a regular continuity, there's no more fun.
No, you're right.
His strength is that he's a regular guy to most extent.
There is actually a comic as well where Batman gets Bruce Wayne's powers. They swap.
Batman gets Bruce Wayne's powers. He's bad at business. He's bad at business, but he's good at delegating.
I'm really
tired. He's good at pretending to be asleep during board meetings.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fading sleep.
So the bad guys have like a big mob gathering and they're like, what's Batman doing here? No, don't worry about it. He's asleep. He's just got a snot bubble coming out.
But so Bruce Wayne gets Superman's powers.
Yes.
But he goes mad.
Like, right, okay,
So he loses his smarts.
Yeah, okay.
And then they end up having a battle and he beats him with kryptonite or whatever.
Sure.
It's fine. It's not what we're really talking about. I'm going to bring up something that was a little bit more now, Mason.
Oh, yeah.
The Jim Gordon Batman.
Oh, yes.
So it's a mechanized
armored
suit,
Batmans.
But underneath that, he's got like a sleek, sexy
runabout
suit.
It is sleek
suit.
And sexy.
Yeah.
How old is that guy supposed to be?
He's 45. And he quit smoking and he does. Oh,
okay, sure.
And
shaved the mustache.
He has to, yeah.
How's he even Jim Gordon then?
Well, yeah. Well, that's the thing. It exists in a storyline where Batman is dead.
Yes.
Well, he's not, but you know what I mean.
Is he off in time?
No, that's a different one. He loses his memory and his skills, and he's off helping kids in a rec center or something. I can't remember.
Sure. But he's Kevin James. He's got to use his detective skills to save the rec center.
That's right.
Wow.
So it's like a Batman like task force where he's got this whole. It's the police have organized it. Okay. They need a new Batman. And they go through all these kind of candidates and they're like, well, the best person for the job is Jim Gordon.
You know.
And he's like, I don't really want to do this. And it's interesting, but I would say it's the weakest run of that new 52 Batman.
Yeah.
And I don't really think...
There were a lot of misfires in that whole...
No, I don't think so. I think it's a pretty solid run. And
I meant in DC as a whole, that whole period.
Sure, fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting, but it's too long. But also, the point of it is at the end that this guy shouldn't be Batman. Batman should be Batman. Mm. So it resolves itself that way.
He just doesn't have a clean shaven face. He's got a mustache face.
That's
he
right.
Needs to have a mustache.
I do.
He's got too much top lip.
Yeah, that's right.
He's unpleasant.
I do like the suit though. The undersuit.
The sleek suit or the armored suit?
The sleek suit.
The armored suit's too much.
Yeah, it is too much. Yeah.
It's just a walking tank.
But it's also the point as well. It's kind of the point of the story.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's an example of why you shouldn't do that while they're doing it.
Yeah. Look, I think, I also think Speeding Bullets at the time was that as well.
Right.
Like it's too much. Like certain versions of Batman are too brutal.
Mm.
And I think that was kind of like.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's heat vision and dudes and breaking their legs and whatever.
Right, right. You know. Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen the Hellbat?
Which one's is that?
No, it's like a Justice League forged suit of armor that is for Batman for when he's fighting people that are more powerful than him.
So like, everyone.
So he can punch on with Darkseid and stuff
okay,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
This is quite recent.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah, no, I've seen an
image.
It's got
wings, it's got it's one of those things where if you had it, why wouldn't you use it all the time?
Because he's all about the streets.
Well, see, exactly. And the only detriment or the only weakness in the suit is like, it's powered by your metabolism, so it'll drain your... You can't use it because it'll drain your metabolism. So what, he'll get real fat if he keeps using it. Look, I'm eating right, but I can't
shed these pounds.
I don't know. I can't fit in it anymore. But yeah, too much power.
Too much. I think it's more interesting when Batman takes on a character like a Darkseid or whoever, and he's just Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
That's way more interesting.
Yeah, and he's using his smarts.
Yeah, and he normally ends up being killed.
Almost always ends up being killed or hurled through time somehow. Yeah,
that's right.
But he gave it a whirl, didn't
he? Yeah, he gave it a whirl.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it exciting. Mm. Like, because you know he's probably not going to escape.
He's rolling the dice here. He's rolling the dice. Maybe he has something up his sleeve. Maybe he doesn't.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe it's bluffs.
Yeah, exactly. Did you read Batman Dracula Red Rain?
Yes, I did.
Like I really like that comic.
It's good, right?
Yeah, so it's basically he gets infected with a vampiric virus.
In order to fight Dracula.
Yeah, he chooses to do it himself.
Yeah. And again, this is an Elseworlds.
Yes, yes, it is. Sorry, I should point that out. It's pretty fun.
It is, yeah.
Mm.
The art's great. I can't remember who it is, but it's real nice.
It's from the 90s, yeah?
Sorry. Yes. Mm. And it does, at one point, he does hurl Alfred's severed head. At a villain.
Right.
Because basically he acquires these vampiric powers and then he's like, well, now I've got them, I may as well kill everybody. And so he just kills his whole rogues gallery.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, I've ruined everything and I'm too powerful and I shouldn't exist. And so I believe Alfred and Commissioner Gordon stake him to death.
Right, right, okay.
But then more bad guys come back and they're like, we need this guy.
Yeah.
And then so they unstake him, which brings him back.
Yeah.
And then Alfred's like, you can drink all my blood and sever my head if you want.
That's up to you.
It's like, up to you. Yeah.
Ball's in your court.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he does.
Yeah.
Great.
But it looks great and it's super weird.
Yeah, it is. I really enjoy it. Well, if we're talking 90s versions of Batman.
Yields.
What about Azrael?
Oh, sure.
What's the guy's name?
Jean-Paul Vallée. Yeah. Uh-huh. He's one of my faves, if I'm honest with you. But again, this was intentionally because this came in the wake of the death of Superman.
Yes.
And the wake of a lot of grim and gritty stuff.
Yeah, the Batman backbreak and whatever.
Yeah, and it was sort of, you know, the versions of Superman we got were more extreme.
Yeah,
and everything in the 90s was more extreme.
Mm.
Everybody had pouches and bionic arms and bionic eyes and
laser cannons.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody had a gun and whatever.
Yeah.
And apparently, according to the editorial team,
so
at the
many
time,
chains.
Yes. Oh, Spawn, exactly. Yeah. Image, all of the young blood, all those guys. Whilce Portatio. But it was according to the DC editorial at the time, the Batman team, they were like, we will show you a Batman that is so extreme. Because people at the time were like, Batman's a bit hokey, isn't he? He's kind of with his underpants on the outside and his doesn't kill and his, you know, here's a lesson for you, Robin kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, here's a version that's so extreme that you will be like, no, we don't want this. This is no good. And we actually prefer the original Batman. And I feel they succeeded.
Definitely, yeah. Though a lot of people seemed to like it initially, didn't they? They were like, yeah, this is it. This is what I'm about.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And then it slowly became this, oh, no, this isn't fun.
Yeah.
But it's not, I don't really enjoy the way it's resolved. I guess, spoiler alert, where he takes him through like a tunnel and Asriel's...
In the Batcave,
He's taken off all his armor and then he's like, I'm not Batman, I'm just a blonde guy with a mullet. Like, that's how it ends.
I've got Coke bottle glasses. I can't see a thing without my glasses.
It's an interesting experiment.
Because it's this guy who was raised from birth who may have some gorilla DNA in him. It's very vague.
I didn't know that.
No, he does. And he's sort of raised from birth by this religious order to be their avenging angel. And
he's got a big red baboon's ass.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's why he had to build a new suit of armor. And it's sort of, and the premise was that he's had all this, he's had this thing called the system built into him where he's been trained and then he's been hypnotically programmed to forget that he's been trained.
Yeah.
And so they can just, they show up at his door one day and they sort of unlock the abilities.
He's like a student. He's a uni student.
Yeah, that's right. And then all of a sudden he's got all these karate skills and whatever. Yeah.
I listened to
building a crazy batsuit skills.
I listened to an audiobook of that story.
Nightfall. Night Quest. Night's End.
Whatever it's called.
All those three.
It's quite good.
Right?
Like, yeah, I was really surprised by it.
And that book, I was going to say earlier, that also explains his multiple batsuits. He's like, at one point, Bruce Wayne Batman is like, oh, should I use the silky batsuit tonight? Or should I use this one? Oh, man, so many options. It's good to have options.
Absolutely, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the 90s also brought us Batman of the Future, Terry McGinnis Batman.
Oh, yes.
Which is a fan favorite. He's one of the ones that really stuck.
Uh-huh.
Like, they don't always. So everybody kind of knows this, but what's Batman? Batman Beyond. I nearly said Batman Forever.
Uh-huh. Here it was called Batman of the Future for a while.
Was it?
Yeah, in Australia.
That's what I have here.
In Australia, it was called Batman of the Future.
Oh, wow. That's probably why I didn't... Yeah.
Which is... clunky and awful. I don't know why they wouldn't call it Batman Beyond.
Yeah. Because it's not as clear as
it's
from the future.
Yeah, that's right.
It?
Maybe there's some sort of copyright issue with Beyond 2000, right. Great Australian TV series.
We've talked about it.
We have, yeah.
But I'm sure everybody knows this, but it's basically Bruce Wayne is forced to retire as Batman because he's getting too old.
Yep.
And then 20 years or so after that, crime in Gotham is rampant and Terry McGinnis, who turns out is Bruce's cloned son.
He's a clone, yeah.
But I think they changed that recently. They might have changed it back. I don't know. I haven't read it. But steals the bat suit and starts doing some stuff.
Because Batman, in preparation, he's like, well, I can continue to do this forever.
Yeah.
If I build enough technology. And so he builds this new prototype bat suit, but he never gets a chance to wear it.
No, I think he wears it.
Because he gets too fat.
I think he wears it in the first one. And then he's forced to pull a gun.
Yeah, he wears like, I think he wears the gauntlets.
Okay.
He just wears the gauntlets, I think.
Okay, right, yeah. Right. Uh-huh. Either way, I think it's a really interesting continuation of the mythos. And apparently the people behind Batman at that time, they liked the animated series, but they wanted something that the kids could get into.
Okay.
So they shopped around a whole lot of ideas and they finally settled on, because it's a continuation of the animated series.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same Batman. It's the same voice even as well.
Uh-huh.
So I really like it from that perspective. And the movie Return of the Joker sees the original Joker come back and Batman of the Future.
Yes.
Like fights him. And it's just interesting to see that his different tactics to Bruce Wayne.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm. I really like Terry McGinnis.
It's a capeless suit, which is interesting.
And it flies, which I don't love.
Yeah.
But it's the future, I guess.
It's fine. I'm okay. The further into the future it goes, the more okay I am with it.
Because, of course, everybody flies.
For a while, exactly, because he's got to meet the demands of... Because, exactly, everybody can fly in that universe. There were, for a while, it went Batman animated series, then there was like the Batman Superman adventures.
Right.
And in some versions of that, he's got a jetpack.
Right,
like a winged jetpack, and I'm like...
Don't like
it. No, thank you. Interestingly, for me anyway, maybe for nobody else, at about the same time Marvel did a cartoon called Spider-Man Unlimited.
Right.
Which is where Spider-Man went to Counter-Earth, which is the Earth on the exact opposite side of the sun currently to the regular Earth, which was created by the High Evolutionary.
I know it.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so he went over there, but he stole like a prototype, like an advanced Spider-Man suit, which could also do like all the stuff that the Batman Beyond suit could do.
How many nanotechnologies
it was all nanotechnologies. And he could turn invisible and I think fly and stuff like that. It was a weird...
But he was in the modern day.
Yes.
See, that to me isn't... I remember that. That's
but
not...
he fought like anthropomorphic animals, if that helps.
No, not really.
No, but that's the advantage. He needs the advantage.
Sure. But yeah. he has the powers of a spider somewhat.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah.
Does he really need it? I think it's a little too much for the present day.
That's what I'm talking about. But we're not talking about Spider. Speaking of Batmans of the future.
Yeah.
Have I talked to you at length about DC 1 million? Which is one of my favorite DC storylines, sure. I feel, of all time.
Please do it.
But Batman 1 million.
Yeah.
Who's not, it's 85,000 years in the future-ish.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But there's been 1 million Batmans because so many have been killed.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't think about how many Robins there's been. Oh boy. Goes through them like tissues in winter. Oh, no good. But the Batman of the 853rd century.
Yeah.
He lives on Pluto.
Nice.
Which is a prison planet now.
Right.
And he's
got... a warden of some description?
Yeah, he's like a warden.
Yeah.
But anyway, he gets propelled into the... He gets sent to the 20th century.
Right.
21st century. Who's to say? And
not me.
He's got a... I think he's an excellent version of Batman.
Why is that?
Because he's terrifying. Okay. Because again, he can fly.
Yeah.
He can make duplicate versions of himself, like solid light hologram versions.
Oh, that's great.
He can beat Batman. He can beat the 20th century version of Batman in one punch.
I do remember that. Yeah. That I remember, yeah.
In fact, what he does... Because
often that's Batman's thing to beat someone in one punch.
Right. Yeah. And so if you... This guy, holy moly.
Yeah, yeah. But do you think he's not a guy that you wouldn't drop him in and have him replace because it wouldn't work, but it's interesting to see him come back and then interact with the modern day Justice League. Yeah.
The idea being that...
Is he a relation?
No.
I mean, it wouldn't even matter at that point, would it?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I mean, I guess everybody's related at that point.
Sure.
Or not. I don't know how genetics works.
We'll never know.
Gorilla DNA.
If you're science, big old email baboon bomb. Let us know.
Yeah. But the idea being that... The Justice Legion, who are the future version of the Justice League, 850.
It's the same Superman, isn't it?
No, it is. Well, the same Superman does still exist.
He lives in the sun.
He lives in the sun, that's exactly. Right. But the version...
He can't get into the Fortress of Solitude because he's got...
DNA's too weak.
It's too watered down.
Yeah, he's his descendant. I believe he also contains Lex Luthor and Brainiac DNA.
Everybody's related, genetics.
Everybody's related, genetics, exactly. It makes perfect sense. But basically, they come back to the 20th century, and they're like, hey guys, it's the anniversary of superheroes in the future, and we're going to have a future Olympics to celebrate how great you are. Why don't you all come, and Superman, the real Superman's going to come out of the sun and say, wave his big golden hand.
And Batman's like, fuck off.
Batman's like, this seems very suspicious and something bad is definitely going to happen. So I decline. And the future Batman's like, not your call. And he punches him real good. And then he pulls his soul out of his body and he leaves his comatose body in the past.
Right.
Like with no soul in it. Because future Batman can do this apparently. And then he sends him into the future into like a clone Bruce Wayne body.
So he could trash it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But that's the thing.
That's why Batman fell asleep at that meeting.
Yeah, got his soul pulled out.
Yeah. Oh, great. Mm. We should do
what
an episode
to that body?
On that.
There's to say.
Yeah, well, that's a really good question.
That they kind of missed a trick because that version of Batman, that like the present day Batman who's been sent into the future, did not ruin that body.
Yeah,
like, he should have been like, who cares, and just torn it to shreds.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just been like, you know what? I haven't had a drop of alcohol in my entire life.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here we it's go, party mate. Time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to put on that suit that ruins my metabolism. That's what I'm going to do.
A suit called vodka. Here we go.
Have you read Batman Earth 1?
I think I read the first issue. The first volume.
So these are standalone graphic novels.
You know what? The thing about it is, it's not different enough to me.
I completely understand. You know what it is? It's like Christopher Nolan's version.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So it's Batman where his tech kind of doesn't work and he's kind of an idiot and he's always falling off a building.
Yeah, right.
And Alfred's always like, what are you doing?
It's closer.
What are you doing?
It's closer to the real world
thing.
Yeah,
exactly. And you can see his eyes fully through the... It's really off-putting in a way, but like it opens with him chasing a criminal across the roof and he fires his grappling gun and it just bird's nests. Do you know what I mean? It just goes... Yeah. And he's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, and he has to get, and he gets Lucius to like fix all his tech because he's
and
just
build,
doesn't
it, build
know what
him
he's
a
doing.
Batmobile and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. But you're right. I don't think it's, you know what? There is some really interesting stuff because Harvey Bullock is this like Hollywood detective.
That's right. He's from the LAPD. Yeah. He's transferred over.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got like a, he used to have a TV show where he's like a Hollywood cop and he comes to Gotham to make a name for himself and he just gets ruined because of all like the horrible shit that he sees.
Yeah.
And that's why he becomes like an alcoholic. And Alfred's a lot meaner.
Yes.
Like he's like a
the Jeremy Irons version.
Yeah. He's the Green Beret kind of, he was a friend of Thomas Wayne's.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And then when Thomas Wayne dies, it was like, you're stuck with this kid. And he's like, no, I don't want to do this. And then he actually teaches Batman to fight. Like,
right, yeah, yeah.
And there's a bit, he's got a wooden leg.
And Jim Gordon teaches him to fight as well.
Yeah.
This guy, this Batman's terrible.
No, he is terrible.
Yeah.
But that's also kind of why it's interesting. There's a bit where is like Alfred fights him as a grown man. He's like, you don't have what it takes to like, uh-huh, when you're on the streets. And Batman like sweeps his wooden leg and like breaks it in half.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then none of the villains are kind of like, there's the villain's like the birthday boy. It's like a serial killer.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That's real.
And there's a killer croc who's
not really a killer croc, but he's also kind of nice. He's just kind of misunderstood.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. It's interesting. You know what?
I should go back to it.
Yeah, I would check. There's actually two volumes now, so you can, you can check them out, Mason. Mm. And the version of Superman, the Earth One Superman, is Man of Steel. It's the Man of Steel story.
Right.
It's a movie pitch. That's what it is.
But that's very odd because it's the Man of Steel Superman and the Nolan Batman.
Yes.
Which should never mix.
No.
Because the power levels are so...
I don't think they do.
Yeah.
I think they're set in different realities.
Oh,
there's
I
not,
see, right.
I mean, maybe they're not, but there's not...
Oh,
there's not
I see.
A lot of
I thought you were saying Superman Earth 1 appears in...
No. I'm
okay,
saying
that makes
you
sense.
I don't love it.
Is Earth 1 intended to be real Earth?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah, that's not... Okay. That one's how that's entirely
because there used to be one called Earth Prime.
Yeah.
And that was... Oh, this is our world and we read about these characters in comic books.
Right, okay.
But then it turned out Superboy Prime was from that universe.
Earth Prime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's in his name, isn't it?
It's in his name, isn't it? Probably the giveaway.
What do you think of Owlman? Who's
the crime syndicate,
crime syndicate version
from my parallel universe?
The James Woods version.
Oh, he is
Batman,
too. Yeah,
voiced by James Woods. I like that movie a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I like
is the owl really the natural enemy of the bat?
If you
that
read,
has been pushed on us a
if
number
you read
of times.
Scott Snyder's Run, then yes,
of Court of Owls, Owlman. They're like the natural enemy of them. They're both nocturnal and they're both. Would you rather fight, a bat or an owl?
Probably a bat.
I'd rather fight a bat as well.
You know what's the natural enemy of a bat? A broom. Just swat the bat out of the air. Yeah. But no, I like him. He's a psychopathic version of Batman. His quest is to destroy the known universe and every other parallel universe.
Right. Uh-huh.
That's his ultimate goal. Uh-huh. And Batman kills him, essentially. Yeah. It leaves him in a dimension and it explodes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's real nihilistic. Like, he's just like, what's the point of anything? If there's multiple Earths, why?
Right, yeah.
Why does anything matter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite psychopathic version of Batman?
Oh, I got a list here. Hang on.
You've got a separate list for... You've got regular Batman. You've got him arranged via how psychopathic
that's right.
they are.
Okay, he's probably not the most psychopathic, but I like Thomas Wayne.
I was
going to
say Thomas Wayne, right.
Yeah. We've talked about him.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like about Thomas Wayne? The red costume and eyes?
They're pretty good.
Sure.
I like his guns.
He's kind of the Frank Miller Batman. There's a lot of that in him.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because he's older for one.
Yes.
But he's just also very, he's brutal in a way that regular Batman isn't. And he has guns.
Well, yes, he does have.
There's so many guns. I wouldn't mind seeing Jeffrey Dean Morgan do that. We've talked about
that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the live action. Should we talk about the Frank Miller version?
Sure.
Sal from Comic Pop, Comic Pop, which is great. They do a show called Back Issues, which is very similar to Caravan of Garbage. Some may even say better. Some say I subconsciously stole it, Mason.
Oh, yes.
Who knows? But he said the Dark Knight Strikes Again Batman is pretty messed up. So that's not the Dark Knight Returns. Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Which is the first sequel to that. Yeah.
Where he's got the army working for him and he beats up Batman again for no reason and the art's terrible.
Yes.
He's a way more...
Yeah.
If you thought the first version was kind of extreme, this is like next level madness Frank Miller insanity.
I guess that's the most... Is that the most psychopathic Batman?
The Frank Miller one? Or that...
No, Frank Miller is the most psychopathic.
Sure. What about the Frank Miller All-Star Batman?
Madness.
Yeah.
It's just madness.
Just madness.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one that I really like.
Okay.
The Dick Grayson Dark Mirror version, where Batman is I can't remember why he's gone. It's also Scott Snyder, but it's a graphic novel. You can get it where Dick Grayson takes up the mantle of Batman, and it's.
Is this an Elseworlds? Because he did it.
No,
in
a, this is
the
real.
Regular
this
universe,
real.
Right? Yeah,
this is just before they rebooted everything.
Yeah,
and I think this is why it's.
He was back in time.
Yeah. Okay. Would have been that then. And it's great. It's really, really good. It's one of my favorite Batman stories. It's him being Batman. And it's interesting because the Joker recognizes him as not being Batman.
Right. Because of just the Joker's very perceptive.
That's right. Yeah.
Does he recognize him as Robin?
I think he does. Yeah, yeah. I'm fairly. Yeah, because he probably just know the way he moves or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's more kind of lighthearted, obviously, than Batman.
Yeah.
Dick Grayson is an amazing character and he's a great Batman. Because he was supposed to. That was a big push in the 90s when Azrael took over.
Uh-huh.
Dick Grayson wanted it and Batman refused it.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that how that went?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, another editorial push in that era was potentially, if you're like, I didn't really like Azrael, like the way that went, another option was to just take his bad ears off and call him Caped Crusader.
That's right. We've talked about that.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Terrible.
Okay, who do you want Batman to be I was going to say invariably replaced by, but he's never going to be replaced.
Yeah.
They'll just keep rebooting it so he's young again.
Right.
But if you had to replace him with any version, with anybody, who would you have him superseded by?
Definitely Dick Grayson.
Not Damian Wayne?
Because yeah,
there's a good,
I like
there's, some,
Damian
there's
Wayne.
Some good future versions of
yeah,
Damian
totally.
Wayne.
Yeah, totally. There's a future Batman version of Damian Wayne.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Uh-huh.
What about you, Damian Wayne?
Not for real. I don't think it would work consistently.
Right.
Because that is most future versions of Damian Wayne have done something really horrible in
order to
maintain this. The Damian Wayne, the actual son of Batman, is so committed, becomes so committed to maintaining the legacy of Batman and stopping crime and stopping evil that he becomes, he's just the lesser evil.
Yeah.
Like there's a version that sold his soul to the devil in order to become immortal.
Right, right.
That's a cool version, but
sure.
Can you build a series around that?
Not forever.
Although you actually literally can forever. That's
I guess
the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
And there's a version that keeps himself alive with Lazarus Pits.
Okay.
He wears like a mechanized suit, I guess. You never see under it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know.
But there's something that's not good under there. Is that what you're saying?
What about Tim Drake?
Yeah, actually, that's what I was just Googling. Has he been Batman? He must have at some point.
There was that, the version you're talking about, the battle for the cowl.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he was very briefly.
Because he's kind of the best of all the Robins.
I think
in
so.
In a way. You know, I prefer Dick Grayson as a character, but he's probably the most equipped to do it. He's the most balanced.
Yeah.
He's probably the most technically skilled, like in general.
He's the best detective.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, that's.
Like, he's potentially a better detective than Batman.
I bet Batman disagrees. He could never admit that.
But yeah, that's the idea has always been that Tim Drake will become a better detective than Batman at some point.
Okay, cool. So, I like that.
But that's the thing. He's kind of always been my favorite version of Robin.
Yeah.
Only because I grew up with that particular character.
Right,
like
right.
I started reading comics just before, just around the time that Jason Todd was killed.
Yeah, yeah.
I think. And so I'm always been like, oh, this is my version of Robin kind of thing. And so it kind of irked me when they, at one point, I think New 52, they rebooted the continuity. So he was never a Robin.
He was always Red Robin.
Yeah, and I'm like, don't take all that continuity away.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been for like 10 years.
He's got a stick though, doesn't he?
He does have a stick. Yeah. He has a stick and a sling. That's all you need.
Yeah. I think it's Tim Drake.
That costume was so awesome, 90s. Anyway.
Yeah. Have you heard the story where...
I'm like, it's Robin, but he's cool. The outside bit of his cape is black.
Did you... there's a Batman comic where... I think it's a Tim Drake version of Robin gets stuck in a car with the Joker.
Are you going to say stuck in a cardboard box?
Yes, and he's just stuck on this madcap adventure.
Is he trapped in the boot?
Yeah, no, because he's getting, I think it's Tim Drake, I might be wrong, but he's getting like shot at by thugs.
Uh-huh.
And then a car pulls up and it's like, Robin, get in the car. And he gets in and it's the Joker.
Ah.
And he's like, shit. And then and the way it kind of unfolds, the Joker, it's a family car.
Okay.
And so Tim Drake's like, right. If it is Tim Drake, I should preface that by saying, he's like, this is a family car. There might be like a toy in the seat where I can uncuff myself. So he reaches in and he finds like a toy car and he's like, awesome. So he goes to kind of cut his ropes. And the Joker's like, ah, I got you. I put that there. He's like, I knew you'd look for it. But it's really great. It's really interesting.
Okay.
Again, if it is Tim Drake. But even if it isn't, it's still good.
Even if it's real. Maybe it's not real.
What about The Midnighter? You know more about The Midnighter.
I like The Midnighter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Superman and Batman if they were a couple. Yeah.
Together at last, I say.
Here's the thing, though. Because he was put into... And I read the first few issues of his solo series.
Yeah.
Well, he was part of... Those two were part of the Wildstorm universe, which was an Image imprint.
Mm.
And then that was sold to DC. And so they're like, let's integrate these characters into the DC universe proper.
Right.
I don't think they work.
No, you 100%. Think they're better off in their own...
I think they're better off in their own universe.
Okay, fair enough.
And also because this guy's like... He's supposed to be like Batman, but times 1,000.
Right.
So how do you make Batman beat him in a fight? That's kind of the
right.
The rule that Batman has to beat him in a fight.
Okay.
Have we ever done Versus maybe in our famous Versus episode?
Different
we
Batman.
Hmm.
We should maybe do that.
Yeah.
As a version. But they can't be too similar because otherwise it's just like...
Yeah. Well, so The Midnighter is... He's got like enhanced strength and speed and endurance. And he can see enhancements.
Yeah.
Like, and he can see if somebody's got superpowers or... Cybernetic,
and he'll know how to kind of combat that.
Yeah, and he can also... He's got a fight processor in his brain.
Has he got a can-do attitude? Because I think that's the most important thing to have.
Yeah, it's kind of a grizzled can-do attitude.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, he can calculate how a fight's going to go a million ways.
Like Sherlock Holmes.
Like Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. He's got a mind palace. Yes. He calls it Midnighter's mind palace. So in a way, Batman could not beat him in a fight.
Right.
He's calculated every single way to
win. Okay, and you don't like that.
I don't like it.
Or
although,
not the way it's done.
In the past, Midnight isn't... Like, canny people or, like, tech people have managed to switch his enhancements off.
Okay.
And then he's just a regular guy.
Right, right.
So that's how Batman would do it, I would imagine.
Yeah, he would. What about this one?
Okay.
Earth 10 version of Batman is a Nazi.
Oh, Leatherwing, his
name is. That's all we kind of know about him. He's very briefly in it.
He's very briefly in it, and he's a creep.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Who would have thought a Nazi would be a creep as well?
He looks exactly like Batman. He's got just the same suit. He's just got a Nazi
logo.
Like, he has the Batman logo and then the Nazi logo over it.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of sidles up and like...
Swastika, we know what it's called.
Yeah.
We don't call it the Nazi logo.
It's the Nazi logo.
You know, like the Nike logo, you know?
And and he hits on like an alien girl or something.
He hits on Forerunner, who is like the... she's like a dimension traveling... lady.
Right.
She was part of the Crisis on Infinite Earths, which explains why she's in this parallel universe, I guess.
And he's like, look, I'm not normally for dating outside of my species, but because I'm a Nazi.
Yep.
But and she's like, get out of here.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a weird universe. I can't remember how did that universe come about? I feel it's kind
of... I have no idea.
The Nazis won World
War II.
The Nazis
won and then
everybody just rolled over.
Everyone's a Nazi.
Like Superman's just like, I guess I'm a Nazi now. Hey, if we're going to talk about weird... regimes.
Yeah.
I guess we could talk about Injustice Batman, but he's not that interesting. But
Batman, but it's things have gone bad.
Yes, which is most Batman.
He's still Batman. Yeah.
But I was going to say, what about the Batman in Red Sun Superman?
I love that Batman. I got him down here. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
he's not Bruce Wayne, though.
No, exactly. He's not Bruce Wayne, and why does he exist?
Yes, good. Well, he exists because of the regime of Superman.
But, like, because here's the thing, because we, in the Red Sun universe, Kal-El's rocket lands in like a work farm in Soviet Russia.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's raised by the Soviet state and he believes in Soviet ideals.
Yeah.
But all the other, all his villains, quote unquote villains, are from the US. So Lex Luthor's still in the US.
Yes.
Hal Jordan's from the US.
Yeah.
All these guys.
Mm. Why is Batman?
Why is a Batman arisen?
Because they wanted to put him in the hat.
Yeah, right?
That's really.
They wanted
why.
Batman in the furry hat. You're right. So clearly there's a guy who's been orphaned by this regime. Like his parents have been killed and he's like, what would Superman fear? A bat. Right?
A bat in a hat.
A bat in a hat. Exactly. Terrifying. How do you deal with a bat in your hat? You know what
you
I mean?
Can't.
You can't do it.
Yeah, I like the way he beats him, though. And he does beat him. He hits him with red
that's
light.
Right,
and Superman doesn't know
that
it affects him. He's like, what are you, an idiot? And then Batman just beats the shit out of him.
Yeah.
But again...
For a time.
Well, Wonder Woman saves him.
Because
he's
right.
like, I'm just going to lock you in this basement forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wonder Woman breaks her lasso of truth and gets real messed up to save
Superman.
Right, and then Batman detonates the bomb on his heart or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'd rather die than be a weird zombie or whatever.
Mm.
Which is what they do.
That's great.
I like that book, man. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, it's more a Superman-themed book, but whatever.
Yeah,
we'll
whatever.
Talk about it.
Whatever, man.
Mm-hmm.
What have we got here? Kingdom Come is kind of just Batman, but he's old.
He's old and he's in a neck brace.
But he's more...
Because of Whiplash.
Is he?
No, I don't know. Probably because
I thought the villain Whiplash was like, no, he's Marvel.
Yeah. Probably because he's been crippled repeatedly.
Probably.
That's probably
that'll do it.
Yeah.
I think that version of Batman is a more accurate future version than the Frank Miller one. Like, that's probably what he'd more likely become.
Retired. Relying on an army of robots.
Yeah, than like the insanity that the Frank Miller. Also, he's like 75, 80. Uh-huh. Like he's pretty old. Are you familiar with Batman Year 100?
I tried to get through it once.
I really like it.
Yeah.
So it's 100 years in the future. All the capes, as they call them, or whatever, have disappeared.
And this is still the original Batman.
It's ambiguous.
Yeah.
It's his name is Bruce Wayne.
It's a very interesting art style.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like what's that terrible Charlize Theron movie, which is based on a 90s cartoon.
Eon Flux.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like the Eon Flux.
You're right.
Cartoon
it is.
Art style.
It's MTV's Liquid Television.
Yeah, yeah. And Batman just shows up, and he's not enhanced really. He's kind of like
he's 100.
Yeah, well,
is he?
No, I mean, like, he doesn't have a lot of future tech.
Yeah, that's
and he's
right.
just wearing, like, a cloth suit.
Uh-huh.
And he's just tearing through guys and like, jumping across rooftops, like, further than anybody should be physically able to jump. And it's a very bizarre story, but I really, really enjoy it. And it's Commissioner Gordon it's Commissioner Gordon's great-grandson, who's also called Commissioner Gordon, I think. Is after him.
That's his birth name.
Yeah, and they go through the records to find Batman, and they find like a picture every 10 years, and it's a different era of Batman.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it's kind of implied that Batman, for some reason, is now immortal, and he's decided to show up in this weird dystopian
future. Probably
Damian
Wayne.
Yeah, well, it could be.
Yeah.
Who knows? But I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love anything that sort of honors the tradition of here's all these weird versions of Batman. There's a Batman, I don't think it's the animated series. I think it might be the series after that.
Right, right.
Where it's a bunch of kids discussing what they think Batman is like.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
And they all go through, and there's a very flamboyant kid who describes the Joel Schumacher Batman universe.
There's a comic, and that's also an animated series. Did you say that?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yeah. Do you remember Batman Digital Justice?
No, I don't.
Is
it set in the internet or something?
No, it was the second fully computer generated. It's fine. No Iron Man Crash, which is the world's first fully computer generated graphic novel.
I bet that's
which was great.
Was it really?
I liked it.
All right then.
Yeah.
That didn't last long, did it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about?
But I was going to say that because in Digital Justice, Batman is Commissioner Gordon's grandson.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like a Batman who's not just like. It's your son.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's somebody else has done it.
And the villain is the Joker, but he's a computer virus.
In the internet.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Now, the internet didn't exist then.
All
this is bloody, this is bloody 1990, I think.
Okay.
91 or something like that, yeah.
So it's, I don't even know. It's a series of linked LAN computers.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just teletext. he's loose in the teletext. How will I find my weather information?
He's printed himself off in this fax machine. Batmouse. You love that weird universe, don't you?
From the funny animal universe, sure.
Why is he Batmouse?
And not a and bat, not, just...
Bat-bat.
Are you an idiot?
You can't
Come
be Bat-bat, Caddy.
No.
Would you count Man-Bat as a version of Batman?
No.
No?
No.
I mean, he's not... I know he's not, but like...
No.
Where do you think that stemmed from? Do you think they... Do you think...
They went, what's the reverse of Batman, Man-Bat? Yes,
There is a reverse Batman, though. Like a bizarro Batman.
Prometheus?
I can't remember. I know there is, though. How there's a Bizarro Superman, there is a Bizarro Batman.
Oh, Bizarro.
Batman.
Okay, right. Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I meant
he's just turned inside out.
Ugh.
And
unpleasant.
His parents are alive, though. So
oh, great.
Swings and roundabouts.
They just constantly...
just pat whatever's
left
of him.
I was going to say the reverse Batman is Prometheus.
Okay.
Who is the son of two crazed, like... they were like spree criminals.
Right.
Like killers and burglars and whatever. And they're killed by the police.
And he
grows up to hate law and justice.
Yeah.
And so he builds a kind of a, he goes around the world training like Batman, and he gains all sorts of weird gimmicks and gadgets, and he builds a kind of a suit.
Yeah.
And then in his first appearance, the Justice League are like, hey, we want somebody to come up and visit our base on the moon. You know, invent a superhero and make the costume and kind of...
Right.
And you can... Maybe you'll be the winner and you can come up and visit. And so a guy called Retro... A guy... just a big fan of the Justice League invents a character called Retro, who embodies like retro values, and he's all about being a fun, honorable superhero.
Been a good guy.
And then Prometheus just murders him and takes his identity, and then goes up into the into the moon base and
just wrecks shit. That's Mark Miller's nemesis as well. Millar's nemesis.
That's a similar kind of version of Batman.
In a way,
we're naming all kinds of versions of Batman.
In a way.
Mm.
I think this is my last one.
Okay.
Gotham by Gaslight.
I was just going to say Gotham by Gaslight, so maybe that's our last one.
Okay. It's a good one, mm-hmm. I feel. So it's steampunk Batman.
That was the first Elseworlds. It wasn't even called an Elseworlds. Well, it wasn't. This was pre, because DC for many years had Elseworlds, like their version of Marvel's What If.
Yeah.
And this was the first one. This was the first parallel universe, alternate universe thing after they got rid of the Infinite Earths.
Right.
This
okay.
And so it wasn't even called Elseworlds at the time. But it's real. It's real. It's good. Great. And it's Mike Mignola, so it's got this great stylized art.
Yeah.
And again, if we're talking about Batman doesn't work the further into the future you go and the more technology you give him. I feel this worked so well because it's a world where people are terrified by men dressed as bats.
Yeah, that's right.
You would not see that coming.
No, you really
he doesn't need all the technology. Yeah. He's just...
It's also like a Jack the Ripper story.
It is a Jack the Ripper story, yeah.
It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Great art.
I like it.
He wears a nice cape. Like a cape/coat.
He's got goggles, which is the most steampunk thing you can wear.
Oh, so steampunky.
Actually, there is one more
yes.
that I can think of. It's the version where Bruce Wayne's a mad scientist and he creates a Batman Frankenstein
from
monster.
From his dead dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, Castle of the Bat. I remember that shit, though. In a way,
I can't remember. I don't remember loving it when I read it.
Great cover.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
All right.
Well, Mason, I can't imagine there being any more than what we've brought up.
We've named every single version.
That being said,
yes.
Let's go through some of the ones that we've got on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. There's a version. I've never actually seen this version, but there's a version where there's a Superman storyline. I haven't read it, but I should maybe check into it because the art looks great. It's a version where Superman is thrown into a parallel reality.
Right.
Where the Earth's sun has been altered, so it's always generating electromagnetic, like a massive electromagnetic field, so no technology works anymore.
Okay.
So Batman's like, well, I don't have any crime-fighting technology anymore. I'll switch to crime-fighting magic. And so now he's like a...
Well, he would, I guess.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He's like a sorcerer now.
Good stuff.
It looks really good.
Obi John says...
Also, he has a dragon. That's his new Batwing, I guess.
Just a dragon.
It's just to have... He has a dragon.
Obi John says, All-Star, I'm the goddamn Batman is the worst. Wolverine, 90s mashup.
Oh, Darklaw.
Darklaw.
You know what? I think we've discussed it before. In a way, it's no good, but I enjoy it only because they did the original Darklaw one-shot,
yeah.
Which was super 90s.
Yeah.
And again, you give Batman too many powers and where's the fun?
Yeah.
But then they did, in the next run of those Amalgam comics, they did The Adventures of Darklaw, which was... in the style of the animated series. It's so good.
I think you've talked about that.
Yeah, we've definitely talked about it, but I like it a lot.
Amit R says, I think Nazi Batman takes a cake for the worst Batman.
Yep.
Yeah, probably. Connor Dudry says, Yael Stewart's JL8 Batman Batkid is one of my favorites, and he's also the weirdest, I guess. Batkid.
Might be a clone. Let's find out.
Yeah. Calvin Edwards, Brave and the Bold Batman is definitely the best. A lot of people like Brave and the Bold.
That's true. I've not watched a lot of Brave and the Bold. I really should because it looks super fun.
Oh, this is a good one. Josh Bishop says Grant Morrison's Zur-En-Arr,
yeah. Which was sometimes Grant Morrison goes a bit far, in my opinion.
Sure.
In terms of just mining the Silver Age and going, hey, remember that thing that was mentioned in one panel 40 years ago?
Right.
I'll make a whole storyline about it. And it's basically Batman has his mind wiped or something like that.
Yes.
And
he's got a backup personality. In case he gets brainwashed.
Yeah, so he got brainwashed and then...
He goes and he makes a bat suit out of a dumpster.
He builds a weird Technicolor bat suit, yeah. Oh, Batkid's like a webcomic.
Yeah.
I've read that. Okay, it's good. Yep, it's fun.
Noah says, my personal favorite Batman is the Lego one in that movie about Legos. That is a good... It's really good. You should watch it.
I'm really looking
forward to that Lego Batman movie.
Again, my favorite Batman is probably the animated series Batman.
Yeah,
we've talked about it.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't really go wrong. The Stan Lee version, Spongus says...
Where he's Wayne Williams.
The suit looks like a real bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's African-American also.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a whole... DC did a thing many years ago.
Let's make them all black. Was that what it's called?
Yeah, absolutely.
Called? Yeah.
No, it was where They got Stan Lee to reimagine.
Oh no, I know this. Yeah,
all various
to varying success.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, they're all one shots.
Yeah. Sure.
Imagine a man, and he's a bat. Yeah, he literally looks like a bat.
Yeah. Julian says that the Clooney one sure bat nippled my interest right in the bud.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that means.
Of those super bizarre, of the Kilmer Clooney years, I feel the Clooney sonar suit is the best one.
The best looking.
Yes.
That sleek design.
And it's like silver. Like it's got all the silver, all the silver heart. I think it looks great.
Okay.
I mean, it's no good, but it's great.
Yeah. The Adam West Batman, Kyle Davis says, has to be
never heard of it.
Carrying ridiculous things like shark repellent and scaling buildings in daylight. Yeah, we've obviously missed a lot of really big ones. Big fan of the Chinese animated version of Batman that could probably fit in a few characters.
Oh, have you seen that?
Categories. No,
it's an animated short, and it's like a very kind of traditional Japanese stylized anime. Well, it's not anime style, but it's sort of in the style of like Japanese kind of art from centuries ago.
Okay.
It's like animated.
Cool.
And he fights Bane with the help of Catwoman.
Right.
It's kind of cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Not against it.
Okay, great.
Nick says, I grew up with Batman Beyond, so I'm a huge fan of that. Would really love to see Keaton to return as Bruce Wayne in a live action film.
Me too.
Mm. That's interesting. Love Conroy and Batman. Batman, Terry McGinnis in Batman Beyond. Paladin is definitely the weirdest, as he uses guns and kills, like in BVS. That's from Joel?
Never heard of him. I'm going to look it up. Bat Paladin.
Yeah.
Paladin?
I've skipped it. I'm way ahead now. Okay. I don't know where it is.
You can't remember a word?
Nah. Worst Batman, this is from Scott, would have to be when Joseph Gordon-Levitt, when he took up the mantle in The Dark Knight Rises. He sucks bottles.
Okay. Classic Robin Blake.
Yeah. This is from Timothy. Best Conroy, worst Clooney, weirdest, the one where the Joker dressed as a Batman from The Batman. Have you seen that?
No.
It's interesting. It's actually really interesting.
Whatever happened with... Remember when Suicide Squad came out and they released that Hot Toys version of the Joker wearing the Batman costume?
Yeah.
What happened there?
Well, they just released it officially.
Okay.
I maintain that was going to be in the movie.
Okay.
Because that's the only example of something like that being made and then it not appearing in the movie.
Hot Toys has never done...
They've never done it.
They've never gone off script.
Yeah. I'm like, maybe that's not the case, but yeah, I just think it's very strange because a lot of stuff got cut from that movie. So
yeah.
Glenosaurus Rex says, I know it's not targeted at me, but the Batman Unlimited version is dreadful. I don't know that one.
Neither do I.
Orbital Axolotl says, best Batman is Arkham City. Worst is probably All-Star Batman. People really hate All-Star Batman.
Yeah.
Couple more?
Sure. And then no more.
Talking Jack says, Bat Baby or Rainbow Batman is the weirdest. Bale Batman is the best.
Rainbow Batman.
Yeah.
That's your classic 1960s thing.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I'm something's happened and I have to wear a different colored Batman suit every night. No, you don't. You're fine.
You absolutely do. Oh my God. This Joel Rat has done some amazing art, which I'm just going to retweet right now.
Nice.
Of us. And during the podcast, Mason, normally I wouldn't do this.
Oh yes.
I don't check my Twitter during the podcast, except I'm literally doing it now. There's a fan-made video on YouTube called Death of Batman where he gets raped by a heroin addict.
Jesus. I'm going to say not my favorite. Having not seen it, I'm going to go out of limb and say probably not my favorite.
Okay, this is a good one to end on. Hayden Wells says, this is my favorite incarnation of the Dark Knight. And he's just got a picture of Night Owl from Watchmen.
Very good.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks to everybody for all of those things. We appreciate it, don't we, Mason?
Yeah.
We appreciate it so much that we're going to treat you to the next segment of this show.
Yeah.
Which we call, What We Reading?
What We Going to Read.
I'm doing a thing. What are we reading today? What are you reading?
Oh, what I read this week, I got the first issue of the new Doom Patrol.
Okay.
Which is by Gerard Way, who you might know as the former lead singer of My Chemical Romance.
Oh, yeah, he writes comics.
Yeah,
now,
he does. Yeah, he also wrote The Umbrella Academy.
He did a Spider-Man comic.
Yes, he did.
Spider or something in the future. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's good. He's a good fit for this here's the thing. I had a lot of fun with his first issue.
Yeah.
But as someone who read the super weird Grant Morrison version from the 80s and some of the stuff from the 60s.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was happening in this. So I cannot imagine, if you're going into this blind, you have no idea what any of these characters are.
Yeah.
You would have no idea what's going on. But I think that's kind of part of the fun.
Right.
Like, because you get cutaways to, like, you know, past characters, and if you didn't know who they were, you'd be like, what's the context of this kind of thing? And there's some old characters and some new stuff and what have you. So basically, it's... this is part of the... It's called Young Animal, which is the line. It's kind of like the new Vertigo comics.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be in continuity, but they're not really going to interact with the rest of the DC universe.
They're in continuity, but they're not in continuity.
Exactly. You know what I'm talking about.
I do now.
They're continuitous, but they're not in continuity. You know what I mean? But basically, it's about the... so far, we've seen, like... It's these two, like, it's an EMT, like a paramedic, and like an ambulance driver, and they're like a good team. They're kind of like loose cannons. And they encounter Cliff Steele, Robot Man.
Right.
Who escapes from a parallel universe that's inside one of their kebabs. So it starts out pretty weird.
Okay, so that's a jumping off point.
Yeah, so he escapes from it, and then he's hit by a truck, and he's blown up all into pieces, and then the paramedic collects all... the ambulance driver collects all the pieces and takes them to her apartment, and another character shows up, and bloody maybe Flex Mentallo is going to appear later, and it's a bloody...
That sounds too complicated.
Yeah, it's really complicated, if I'm honest with you. But I think...
But you liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I really liked the Umbrella Academy, so it's probably going to be pretty good.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of reading a book called Star Wars Bloodlines.
Oh, yeah.
Which is... Do you
love your Star Wars,
I do.
Don't you?
Do you like Star Wars politics?
No.
Then you won't like this.
It's the worst part of Star Wars.
This explains all the... It's a Princess Leia story, and it's set 6 years before The Force Awakens. And it explains all the politics in the universe.
And this is in continuity.
It's in continuity.
Okay.
And it's kind of... It talks a little bit about... Like, you get glimpses of where Luke and Han and Kylo Ren are.
Yep.
Before, like, all the events leading up.
Okay.
And how the Senate is divided, and how nothing's kind of getting done because there's... almost too much democracy and nobody's making a decision.
Mm.
It's interesting. If you love politics, Mason, fictional politics in a universe where the politics has been nothing but terrible, this is perfect for you.
Sounds bad and I don't like it.
I like it.
I was going to say also there's an appearance, there's an allusion to in Doom Patrol, there's an allusion to, he's going to make an appearance, Danny the Street. He's probably my favorite Doom Patrol character.
Danny the Street.
He's a street.
Like he's a...
He's a sentient street.
Can he move?
Yeah. Like from city to city. So they're like, it's like a Doom Patrol's mobile base of operations.
Okay. Is he the houses in the street? Or is he just the road?
He's whatever they need, basically.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Also, he's a transvestite, but that's not really...
How does that factor?
Who knows? It's a weird universe, man.
Look, man, you can be whatever kind of street you want.
That's what I'm saying.
That's none of my business.
Yeah.
What's it time for now? The classic one was letters, oh letters. Very good, Mason. Sorry.
I'm doing the letters thing.
I realize.
Right now, we're going to do letters.
I played it out on my phone.
You did it again.
Yes, that's right.
And it was dead on.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Eric McNee. Listen to episode 57, where we talked about...
Son of the Knee.
Where we talked about Christopher Nolan movies. Probably. Did you know that was a remake? Did you know that a remake of Memento was in the works? Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter. That's how you reach the show. Have we talked about this? I'm sure we have.
No, we haven't. Well, maybe I wasn't listening.
Memento is being remade.
What's Nolan doing? Like, is he part of it?
Probably just getting producing? The money.
Yes, probably getting the money. Yeah.
I don't mind reboots or remakes or whatever, but you got to bring something new to the table,
right?
And it's not like Memento was like a misstep, and there's an opportunity to make a better version of it.
Yeah, or if it was like, because it's not a movie from the 60s.
No.
Where you could be like, oh, let's make a really tight, like a really tight, tense version of this and cut out all the fat or whatever.
Yeah.
When did it come out? 99 or something?
Yeah, 99, something like that. Maybe 2000, yeah. Leave it.
We just did it. What are you doing?
And it's great.
And the thing, it's a movie that has some twists and turns.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
Do the same thing?
Do the same thing or do... twists and turns which will inevitably be not as good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
anyway, I'm against it.
Yeah. I mean,
until I see it and maybe it'll be okay.
Yeah. I don't hate reboots and remakes. I think they can be done really, really well, but there's got to be a point to it.
Yeah.
And what's the point of this, Mason?
There's no point.
Yeah. This is from Noah Davis. #WeatherPlanetPod. When they put Jason Momoa in black white makeup for The Crow, and he's still buff, won't he look like a discount Lobo?
Yeah, he will.
He will.
That's a very good point.
That being said, Mason.
Yes.
I think the reason they... Because we talked about how do you make the crow not look ridiculous because he's goth.
Yeah, sad and goth. Exactly, yeah.
And the way you do it is you hire a giant scary man to do it.
That's
it's like with Aquaman. Yeah. They were like, we don't want people to laugh at Aquaman, so we'll just hire this terrifying looking person.
Yes.
Like that. That's obviously why they've done it.
Right.
Do you think this is going to work? Speaking of reboots and remakes. Because the crow's... doesn't really need a reboot. I think you could do it as a sequel.
When was the last time you saw
The Crow?
The Crow.
Oh, not in ages. Not in a long-ish time.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah?
I'm not precious about the... It's not a movie that I'm like, oh, I loved it so much. Yeah, I'm just gonna...
You're happy to see the Crowverse get rebooted?
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, did we mention...
Why not do a sequel, though? Because it's the mantle,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's
fine.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, we didn't mention this, but... Alan Richson is Shazam.
Is he?
There's a guy called Alan Richson.
When did this happen?
Today? We got tweeted a couple of times. Says he's playing Shazam opposite Dwayne Johnson's Black Adam.
Interesting.
I don't know who Alan Richson played the CGI version of Raphael in the Ninja Turtles movies.
Oh, that's a strange choice.
Yeah.
I know this guy. He also played
Aquaman in Smallville. Yeah. All right.
It's speculation. It's like, could he be playing it? So I just got to work out what he said.
Okay. Somebody asked him in like a Reddit or something, are you playing it? And he went, yup. So that'll do it.
Hang on, let me check.
Good enough for me.
It's been almost 2 years since Dwayne The Rock Johnson took to his Twitter account to announce that he'll be playing Black Adam. It's been 2 years. he may have just been an off-the-cuff kind of...
Yeah. You know what? He looks like a fine young gentleman.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Do you think you need someone who's not super famous?
Yes.
Like, otherwise is it...
Well, because you want a specific look, and super famous people, they have their look.
You're right.
Find somebody who's got the look, and I think he's got it.
He's 31. That's a good age for it.
Great.
Good stuff.
Great abs.
Some of the best.
Yep. Also, I'm going to request that they shrink him down for like the kid version for Billy Batson.
like the Captain America.
Yeah,
technology.
But in reverse. Shrink him down, shrink the body down, keep the face the same.
Benjamin Button that
Benjamin
that
Button
bro,
him.
Man. Yep. Yeah. Last question. Lucas says, should the James Bond franchise return to the 50s again?
That is a very good question.
I mean, the Connery ones aren't set in the 50s, Mason. I just want to point that out.
But I want to point out that the books are set in the 50s.
And I want to point out that the very first version of James Bond, Jimmy Bond, was also set in the 50s.
I want to point out something that I've been on my mind for a while, is that Daniel Craig looks like a potato.
How dare you?
No, he does.
He's the world's greatest actor.
I think that would be good. There's a version, I think we mentioned on the show before, there's a version, a comic book version written by Warren Ellis called Varga.
Varga.
And he's done two. He's done Varga, and there's one out now, which is set in the modern era. But Varga was sort of set in a vague.
It does have kind of robot arms and stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah,
it's kind of, it could be set anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm okay with that. There have been some novels released in the last few years that have been set in the 60s.
Sure,
I think they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that might be if you want to kind of differentiate from what you've been doing.
Yep.
Don't grim and gritty him and make him in the modern day. Maybe take it back. I liked the setting of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I didn't love The Man from U.N.C.L.E.,
uh-huh.
but I liked that kind of world it was set in, right? And the old tech and all that kind of stuff and the style, and I think it's really
interesting. And it's more like, it's a universe where you can't just solve everything by getting on your phone.
Exactly.
So there has to be some running around, and there has to be some car chases.
And you can weave it in and out of history or whatever. You can. Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. I think it would be really cool.
How about this? We have a 1960s version with whoever, doesn't matter, some guy, doesn't matter.
Yep.
And we have a modern day version with Emily Blunt. They're my two options.
Didn't you want Gillian Anderson?
Nah, I wanted Emily Blunt.
Well, you need to make up your mind, Mason.
Emily Blunt. I've done it repeatedly.
Listen, you need to make a decision at some point.
It's like he's not listening. It's like he's doing the thing that I do and not listen.
I want a 60s version. That's what I want.
Okay, fine.
And they should get...
Daniel Craig.
Yeah, why not?
Nah. No good.
Get rid of him.
Yeah.
That's the show for this week, Mason.
Yes,
before
it is.
We go, the good people over at Nintendo Collect.
Yes.
Which is a Twitter account everybody should follow, including you, Mason,
mm-hmm.
Where they play and discuss and talk about all the different kind of Nintendo games throughout eras on all consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you hate most Nintendo consoles, don't you?
Look, I like everything. I like a Nintendo. I like an NES. I like a Super NES. I like a Game Boy.
You hate the 64 controller.
Hate the 64 controller. I'm against it.
Yep.
Look, do what you like.
GameCube it up. Yeah, there's some good stuff. Resident Evil 4 started on the GameCube.
Really?
Yeah, it's GameCube.
That's the best one, apparently.
It's my favorite. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, this week they're featuring our favorite Nintendo games for each of the eras of consoles.
Great.
And there's a different one every day, which they're going to be playing and kind of getting some insight into things that we sometimes like or vaguely remember.
I think my favorite Wii game was Mad World.
Okay.
Which is the one that's all black and white except for the blood, which is red. Because it was such a departure. Chainsaws. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you've just spoiled your thing, haven't you, Mason?
Yes.
Because the idea was it was going to be a gradual reveal.
Oh, then edit this out. Don't edit it out. That's sizzle. It's sizzle for that's the steak. Right. There's more.
I think the way they're doing it is they've kind of broken up the console. So some are you and some are me.
Okay, cool.
Very exciting.
Nice. Very exciting. Yeah. Very exciting.
All right, Mason, where can people find us?
Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Twitter and Gmail and Bandcamp.
The Weekly Planet is the best place to follow us.
Yes, at the Weekly Planet. It's Robert Collings, our mate. He's done another video. It's a pretty great one about vendettas.
Vendettas and Australian animals.
And little hand puppets.
Yeah, that's right.
He did a little hand puppet of my impression of you. It's very good.
It's very good.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
If you'd like to donate a buck to keep the bloody lights on or keep the bloody caravan of garbage rolling.
Sure.
You can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies.
Yep.
Or you can go to our Amazon affiliate link, which is in the
description.
You just click on the description. You click on the links in the description, and you just buy whatever you're going to buy at Amazon anyway, and we get a little kickback somehow.
We love it.
Anything else? What are we talking about? We got some t-shirts on tpublic.com.
Yes.
Just search for Weekly Planet. They're on there.
We're changing it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody who's been sending in memes for me.
Yeah, I love DC memes.
Superhero DC memes. I just love memes so much, James. love them.
I know you do.
If you want to send me find a good DC Marvel meme, I love them.
A nonsensical.
The longer they get. I sent this one to you this week.
Yeah.
So it's a picture of Batman. This is from Batman v Superman. Yeah. It's Batman. He's standing over a defeated Superman. He's got the boot on the neck.
Yep.
Top line, it says, "When Batman won ... And then it says, "But Batman never even used laser vision or flu." Slightly smaller font. "When you completely ignore the kryptonite that Batman had on his hand ... This guy actually edited the kryptonite spear out of this to make a useless argument."
What?
That's my favorite meme. Because there's too much text. It's been weirdly edited.
It's on top of another meme.
It's on top of another meme, presumably. He's clearly having an argument with somebody about something. I love it. The less pithy, the better. If you find the worst meme you can find, send it to me.
And it could be any. It could be because there's some bad Marvel ones
just
as well.
Just send me the memes. Send Make a memes. Segment about it.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. Oh, that's amazing. You know how many comments there are in my YouTube videos of people yelling at me that I don't understand the Martha scene? Huh. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it. Oh. I just think it's stupid. Like, there's a lot of people just like, well, you know, because the reason is because of the humanity. Because it's revealing that Batman's understood. I'm like, no, I know.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
I get it. Anyway, that's the show for this week. Next week, I thought, Mason, we can't do Magnificent Seven even though it's out.
Yes.
But, because it's out the week after for us. Uh-huh. So maybe we'll have a week where we have very few downloads and do a best Westerns episode.
Oh.
Best hotels.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love a double tree.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh. Wait, isn't...
It's not out here this
Luke
week.
Luke Cage isn't out next week, is it? It's out on the 30th.
Oh, maybe it...
Good Luke question. Cage is out on the 30th.
Okay, cool.
Ooh. Great.
So, well, we can't... So we'll make... So next week, best Westerns, movies of all time. I got a few to talk about.
Okay.
I'm sure you've got a few. If you've got some, tweet at us and we'll bloody talk about
it. We'll have a comfort in.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And
Colour TV.
Oh, thank you. Bible in the drawer. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Gideons. Yes, yes.
Yeah, great.
Okay, cool, great.
And then week after Magnificent Seven, which I'm really looking forward to.
Me too.
That's a remake I'm totally okay with.
I know,
we're
right?
We're due for one. And I like the Magnificent
Seven.
Because
there's no twists.
No. Mm. Just shoot each other and other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did we forget everything? Oh, thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and the bloody Rackham for all our themes, which are great.
Yep, yep.
Thank you to everybody who's liking and subscribing and reviewing and doing all the stuff.
Don't forget this
Thanks
Thursday.
To everybody who's getting in with our sponsors because the sponsors are letting us make more content and
That's
stuff like
right.
that, which is great.
We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this Thursday, Caravan of Garbage. Get into it, Mason.
Yeah.
It's your episode where you talk about a DC property that may or may not be Garbage. Caravan of Garbage.
That's what we call it.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Grab that gem, you guys. Bye.
Best show.
What?
What?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.